You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Making your lousy commute fun.
I took the shoes off in the lobby and lied down on the couch. Is that greasy?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Nobody should ever take their shoes off anywhere in a public place.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Raptors game night tonight. They're in Montreal. Because why wouldn't they be in Montreal? Taking on the Nets tonight. And then they go to New Orleans tomorrow. So before we get into the Jimmy Butler stuff.
Right.
And Josh Lewenberg is going to join us in a moment. Someone sent us in a tweet.
I know, I'm an idiot. Sorry.
I shouldn't have showed you the tweet. And I don't want to see that kind of material. It's unprofessional. We're trying to operate.
I can't see that ever again.
A big radio program here.
I apologize.
Never do that again.
That's very unprofessional.
Very unprofessional.
We're on TV. Too,
yeah, we're on TV. Okay.
Yeah. I have to get serious.
So
we'll knuckle down.
It's time to knuckle down here, okay? So the Raptors start against Portland and Vancouver. That's their first preseason game. Then they go to Utah. The only game they play at Scotiabank in the preseason, they play a team from Australia where no starters play. Yeah. Tonight they're in Montreal, and tomorrow they're in New Orleans. Like, who created this preseason schedule?
At least they beat the team from Australia.
Like, and they covered the number. I was doubting that they would cover the number.
We were a little concerned.
Yeah.
But I don't know why and who plans it, but there has to be people in a room in these leagues, NHL included, that are going, this is good for our league. We have to have the face of the NHL, McDavid, in Germany.
And that was during the regular season.
You know, like,
but you look at this. Like, I understand from a Raptors perspective, they want to get to Vancouver, they want to get to Montreal, because the ownership, they want to promote that it's Canada's team.
Right.
That has been a difficult sell for them. You know, the Jays are Canada's team. They have more history. The Raptors, they're big in Toronto. They're big in Southern Ontario.
Right.
They have not been able to spread their wings, so to speak, throughout the rest of the country. So I get why they go to Vancouver. I get why they go to Montreal. But Utah and New Orleans.
Yeah, those
you couldn't have played Detroit and the Knicks. You know what I mean? Like, the Leafs play Ottawa, Montreal, Buffalo, and Detroit.
Right, just in their wheelhouse.
That's it.
Right here.
Like, everything is at most a 4 or 5 hour drive.
Yeah.
It's a 45-minute flight tops.
Yeah.
The Raps have gone Vancouver, Utah, Toronto, Montreal, New Orleans before they start the season.
Fire up Cleveland? Say, you know what? We're kind of a rival. Let's play a little game.
Let's make it easy for us. So there's going to be a lot of travel. Let's not travel too much. Like, it just seems
especially
like a strange way to start your preseason.
Well, Kawhi's trying to settle into the city of Toronto. He's
exactly.
not even here.
Exactly.
He's not here. He's not even, I'm sure he has a place to live and stuff, but like, you want to get into a little bit of a routine where there's going to be my grocery store. You think? Like, oh, keep us on the road so Kawhi can bond with his teammates or not be in the city that much?
I don't know. Like, I haven't stumbled across the explanation. There may not be one. It may just be as simple as, this is what we're doing. These teams reached out. They came here last year. We're going there this year or whatever. I don't know.
I can't see it as a moneymaker either. Like,
no.
These teams, like, there are some teams, and I know this, like, we've played exhibition games. I remember playing in London in the NHL, Saskatoon, some of these cities. You travel around, you play a neutral site game. I believe the New York Islanders, for money purposes, would play, I think, the Calgary Flames, that would have been us, in like, Western Canada. The Islanders would do, like, a swing out there in preseason.
Just played in Oshawa in the preseason. Now, I believe the reasoning was, hey, John Tavares is coming back to Oshawa.
Yeah, didn't work out so well.
And then it turns out he signed in Toronto, which is a lot closer to Oshawa than Brooklyn.
Right.
But the reasoning, you're right. I remember the Rangers years ago went through Western Canada.
Now, some of that is selfish reasons. The president and general manager at the time, Glenn Sather, I believe he owns a bunch of land in Banff, Alberta.
So let's take, like, the team out there.
Exactly. We're going to Alberta. We'll do, you know, we'll do some team bonding up in Banff and Lake Louise, and we'll play some games. Like, a lot of that is,
there's also selfish reasons. Like, sometimes the assistant general manager is like, nah, my buddy's got a little spot up in Western Canada by a lake, and there's a rink there, so let's go spend 2 days there.
Wouldn't you think the owner, though, at some point would be like, hey, cool, man.
Yeah, what about our rank? What
that sounds
about
like
our
a
revenue?
Really cool
what
story.
About our money?
Yeah. How about we don't do that, though?
But those, they will.
Cool story, though.
What
but
happens
no, we're not doing that.
Neutral site.
Cool lake.
Yeah.
Neutral
awesome.
Site.
Say hi to your buddy.
Gate.
Send him a text. No, I know that. But, yeah. like, you know, I get it for the bigger brands who right. are trying to, again, anywhere they feel like they can get to, they're going to create fans and it's going right. to pay dividends. The Islanders aren't gaining fans regardless of where they go. You know, like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it just, I think there are different layers of reasons. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, so the NHL going to China in the preseason, great. You know, Boston, Calgary, they mm-hmm. decided to go over. I'm sure it was great
it's,
for the
it's
NHL.
It's business.
It's business. But both of those teams had an opportunity and plenty of time to come home and rest and recuperate and get ready for an 82-game grind. Edmonton has played one game in a month, it yeah. feels like.
They don't play again until tomorrow.
They play tomorrow and then Saturday an afternoon
a day game
and
against
then go
Boston.
Home.
And then they go through Winnipeg before they go home.
Yeah, so
like,
they've
nice
got Rangers,
trip.
Winnipeg, and then home. Like,
imagine
it's,
that trip.
I would wish I was a GM or it was or an owner saying, this is the schedule that we're going to put across your plate. I would be like, absolutely no way. Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that we had a brutal season last year? Everything went against us, and we can't have that again.
You want me to go to Europe? I don't know what kind of kickbacks I'm getting. I'm not doing
it. Well, exactly. Like, the focus should be, we're in our own building. We're going to try and hit the ground running here. You can't even judge. Like, say the Oilers get smoked tomorrow. Can you really judge how the team has come together in, like, in 120 minutes of hockey when they've been in Germany, Sweden, now in Boston
right.
in the last 2.5 weeks. They haven't been able to practice in their own building, settle in. Like, that's not making excuses, because if it happened to any organization, you would be frustrated with it. I
Absolutely.
Can't tell you. And I haven't spoken to, I was texting with one of the guys off of their team, and they were more trying to just embrace, like, hey, this is what we are dealt, so hey, we
well,
might
there's
as
nothing
well
you can
some,
do about
exactly.
it now. You
gotta,
can't be sour about it. You've got to perform. You know, no one's going to care at the end of the season if you miss. No one's going to go back and say, well, they started in Germany and then
right,
Boston
right.
and then a day game. And
no.
You're not going to get anybody throwing no. you a pity party. It's not going to happen.
At all. Exactly.
All right, before we catch up with Josh Lewenberg, who's in Montreal ahead of the game tonight, Jimmy Butler put on a scene at Timberwolves practice today, okay? So I think most people are familiar with this. Jimmy Butler, he's got an outstanding trade request, which is 3 weeks old, not a year.
Right.
Didn't, you know, when they got knocked out of the playoffs last year, he didn't say, I think it's enough. Quietly behind the scenes, publicly in front of everybody else, on the eve of training camp, this guy's like, I want out.
Destroyed. Yeah.
So he shows up at practice today because there's a belief throughout the league that he might have to play it out in Minnesota. And because they were such an awful franchise for so long, and they finally made it back to the playoffs, first time in, I want to say, like 12 years,
mm-hmm.
they're thinking, we need Jimmy Butler, we want him here. Yeah, if he walks at the end of the year, that might be a price we're willing to pay, but we'd prefer him to be a part of the program and keep growing with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and try to get back to the playoffs. So Butler shows up today, and obviously the coach, Tom Thibodeau, is there. The GM is in attendance, and all the players are in attendance. And
this is ugly, man.
He shows up, and he starts carving players up.
Yeah.
Calls out the GM and says, you effing need me. You can't win without me. And then, this is the best part. This is the part where I actually gain respect for him and lose every ounce of respect I have for the starters. Somehow, he had the ability to pick out his teammates for like a scrimmage at the end of practice. And he picked out the guys at the end of the bench, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15 guys.
Yeah.
Went out and laid a beating on Wiggins and Towns and the other starters. And then basically dropped the mic and left. So, again, I think this is a D-bag move, all in all. And it's him clearly
saying... You
just said
you loved it.
No, what I love is that this guy was like, all right, I'll pick out my own guys.
Yeah.
And I'll still if you guys don't have the stones to say, A, I'm going to stop you, or B, I'm going to step up to you, it makes them look really weak.
Yeah.
And Rachel Nichols from ESPN, I guess, was somehow in Minnesota, which kind of makes me wonder if Jimmy Butler was thinking, you know what, I'm doing a sit-down with her after.
Yeah.
Wait till you see these antics. Goes on with Rachel Nichols. Nichols runs down everything I just ran down. Asked him to confirm it. He said, yeah, it's pretty much what played out. And then she asked him this question.
Do you think it was the wrong thing to do, or was it an okay thing to do?
I think that... I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right. I would have said, I ain't hooped in I don't know how long. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I love the game, and I love to win. And that's all I was out there doing was competing, playing hard, doing what I'm supposed to do on the basketball floor.
There is no way Rachel Nichols would be in Minnesota. That was so...
You think it was manipulated?
Oh, my
God. It was scripted,
God,
so to speak?
Come on.
That was a Dana White type move. We got to use this,
like,
as promotion.
Bob McKenzie showing up in Carolina, and all of a sudden,
Svechnikov.
Justin Williams or Svechnikov just goes ape.
Well, what I'll say about what Butler just said, again, he's calling out his teammates and saying, I rolled in, took over the gym, yelled and screamed,
right,
put up points, put up numbers, made you all look stupid, and none of you said or did anything.
Exactly.
Like, he's exposing the concerns about Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, that these kids were young and catered and first overall picks, and they got their money before they proved that they actually deserved it. And as much as I think the antics, again, are manipulated because he wants out, you know, he wants a trade, and he's going in there and he's causing a scene, and it's all about him. I mean, pro sports, there are alpha males, and then there are betas, so to speak. And Jimmy Butler, right, whether you like it or not, in many, clearly he's saying, I'm taking over this whole spot. Right. And the fact that nobody confronted him makes them all look pretty weak. Don't you think? Like, all someone had to step up and do something if he didn't like it.
It depends on the context. Like, certainly this looks awful. But if he's just like, I'm gonna challenge you guys, and doesn't matter, I can beat you guys with whoever. And he just flat out beats them. What are you going to say? And now, there's a difference if he's in your face and calling you a piece of garbage and you're brutal in that, and somebody doesn't stand up to him. Like, if we were playing a game of pickup hockey, and Ode goes, I'm good enough that I can take anybody, I'm going to have Joe from the bridge on my team, and I can beat anybody on this ice surface, and he does it, I would find it hard for me to stand up to him. Unless he's verbally assaulting me the whole time, going, you're brutal. That's where you stand up to him and go, all right, we're taking this outside.
Right, or how about, fine, I'll stop you and I'm going to make you
look
brutal.
Exactly, dig in,
you know,
yeah.
Because that's the way it goes in the NBA. Jordan was ruthless. Kobe Bryant embarrassed people all the time on the court.
Right.
But a lot of times it was guys further down the roster. Not Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns are the equivalent.
I just find it goofy how all those things happen at one time, and she's there.
Well,
I mean, she is.
It's a great scoop for Rachel Nichols and ESPN.
Well, no kidding. It's funny how that fell in her lap.
Well, maybe it'll fall in Josh Lewenberg's lap tonight.
Do you think an athlete, Brian, would ever say to somebody, show up in Minnesota tomorrow because you're going to see something? Is that possible to plan that?
I think it might be. While, like, unless,
I mean, of course, like, if you're going to say something outrageous, you can say to somebody, you better be there because I'm going to do this. But
I don't know her routine. Like, maybe she's doing training camp tours. Right. You know, and she
just doesn't show up in Minnesota for any random reason.
But sometimes they do that. They go, you know, Chicago on Monday and
shocker.
Minnesota on Wednesday.
But it certainly seems like it's cut.
All right, here's Josh Lewenberger, a Raptors reporter. What do you make of that? Rachel Nichols and ESPN, they just happened to be in Minnesota when Jimmy Butler showed up.
Oh, what a soap opera that's turning out to be. Well, I mean, my initial reaction to it was obviously the Timberwolves aren't leaking out information that Jimmy Butler is out there yelling at teammates and executives. My first instinct was it's the Butler camp leaking it. My first instinct is this is a pretty direct attempt, a not-so-subtle attempt, to force the Timberwolves' hand and try and make something happen here. He met with Tibbs back whenever it was 3 weeks ago, asked for a trade. They didn't trade him. They met with him again whenever it was last week. They haven't traded him. And all the while, I'm just picturing George Costanza right now driving through the parking lot with the World Series trophies in the back of his car and streaking in a bodysuit. Like, he's trying everything possible
right
here to get out. I'm wondering what's next.
Well, Ryan Russillo just sent out a tweet, and he works for ESPN. And this speaks to your conspiracy theory.
Right.
This Butler story is nuts, and I love it, but how did we already get a sit-down? Like, it is a good question. Like, does ESPN have the answer for this? Like, did they know he was going to do this? Like, why was Rachel Nichols in Minnesota?
Did,
like,
I not just ask?
I understand.
This?
I don't have the answer for you. I'm just
right
reiterating it. I don't know, unless she was doing, You might know, Josh. I mean, is the Jump, are they doing, like, training camp tours? And it just seems, like, pretty strange that this guy would go off, and then he's like, yeah, let me sit down.
I agree with that. Like, they seem to jump around. They go from training camp to training camp, but this is one hell of a coincidence, right? The day that he returns to practice, when no one thought he was going to return to practice. I thought he was making it pretty clear what his intentions were. He wanted out. And then it's interesting, as I said, that things aren't going the way that he planned. He had hoped probably to be traded already. It's not happening. So maybe this is. I mean, that was, we could be wrong. We're speculating, but that was my initial reaction is, hey, this is a player who's not getting what he wants, now taking another step in the direction of trying to force their hand.
Josh, what do you make of the Raps training camp? It seems like they're doing some team bonding. It also seems like they're not really around here that much. Is that good for the group? Is that good for Kawhi and being here? It's kind of a weird training camp. They seem to be everywhere but Toronto.
It's really a bizarre schedule, isn't it? I mean, the NBA shortened the preseason schedule last year, which is a great thing. I think everyone's thrilled about that. They should be doing that in every sport. The NFL training camp should be shorter. The NHL training camp should be shorter. So while there are obvious benefits to that, I think the players enjoy it. Certainly us in the media are enjoying it. We don't have to spend a month and a half trying to find new stories and essentially talk about the same thing, but the downside is we haven't really seen these guys. It's been a week since they've played against NBA competition. They played against Melbourne on Friday, but we didn't see most of the regulars there. So this will be an interesting game tonight, more interesting than most preseason games, if for no other reason than we really haven't seen an extended look at what this new iteration of the Raptors look like altogether. OG Anunoby, who was on an excused 10-day personal leave over the last couple weeks, he's back and is going to start tonight. So this will be our first chance to see how he fits with Kawhi Leonard, a player that a lot of people compared him to, or at least said his ceiling might be last year during his rookie season. We're going to get an extended look at Kawhi and Kyle tonight. It'll be interesting, I think, to see how Nick Nurse manages his rotation, being that this seems to be the regular season dress rehearsal with most guys probably sitting out tomorrow in New Orleans.
With Josh Lumenberger, Raptors reporter, he's in Montreal. It's Raps Nets tonight. Kawhi Leonard obviously has been the vocal, you know, the go-to story throughout the summer and into training camp. And anytime his teammates speak about him or his coach speaks about him, we really jump on it and we analyze it. But Danny Green and C.J. Miles said at some point this week that he's been very vocal and much more vocal than Danny Green's ever seen and much more vocal than C.J. Miles expected. What do you read into that?
It was interesting hearing the two different perspectives, right? Because C.J., obviously, he can't compare it to the San Antonio version of Kawhi Leonard, but certainly he had expectations, and a lot of them were based off of the same things that we're going off of, right? You hear all the stories about how Kawhi doesn't talk to the media, how he doesn't talk to teammates, how he's quiet and all that. So I think, like the rest of us, CJ was expecting very little in terms of the level of communication they were going to get from Kawhi. So I think he's certainly exceeded that. But I was more interested, of course, to hear from Danny Green, a longtime teammate. He was with Kawhi for six seasons in San Antonio, and he said flat out that this is a different guy, a more talkative, a chattier version of Kawhi than he's ever seen before. And I think a lot of it, and this is sort of what Danny hit on too, a lot of it comes down to the circle of life in the NBA. In San Antonio, he was a kid on a lot of veteran teams, probably overshadowed by the Hall of Fame teammates and the legendary coach and a franchise that a lot of the time probably seemed bigger than he did. But here in Toronto, there's none of that. He's the guy. He's the unrivaled face of the new-look Raptors. I mean, Kyle Lowry is their longest-tenured player, their second-best player, but it's clear he's their second-best player. Kawhi is the guy, and he's embracing that, I think, a lot more than we expected, and maybe that appeals to him a lot more than we thought. We didn't really know what appealed to Kawhi, and that's what made this risk so difficult for the Raptors, because what were they going to sell him on? How are they going to sell him on a future in Toronto? Does he want money? Does he want to win? Does he want to be the guy? And I think this is an encouraging sign for them now. It's still early. of course, but this is an encouraging sign for the Raptors that Kawhi really does seem to be embracing this opportunity to be the guy, the face of an organization, more than he ever was in San Antonio.
Thank you, Josh. Enjoy it tonight. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter in Montreal. Raps, Nets, you can watch it on TSN. Hear it right here on TSN 1050 tonight. We'll see. This Jimmy Butler story is really fascinating.
I can't get a read on it, but I think O brings a great point up, is like all of a sudden there's a sit down. It's either preconceived, like he's like, I'm going to have a sit down, I'm going to go nuts today, and I'm going to make this trade happen by drawing so much attention to it.
It's like Drager being in Florida for a Panthers practice. Huh? Let's have a sit down after something ridiculous happens. Barkov wants a trade. Oh, hang on, hey, I'm here. Darren Drager from TSN.
Well, at the very least,
basically what you're looking
at. If it wasn't premeditated, and if he really was like, uh-oh, that was, he would have canceled the interview.
Exactly.
He would have been like, guys, I can't do it right now.
Too emotional, can't do
it. Go talk to Andrew Wiggins or Tom Thibodeau or something. Yeah. But the fact that he's like, yeah, let's do the sit-down.
He didn't seem
most
that worked
guys
up
would
about
walk
it,
out and say, I don't want to talk to anybody for 48 hours.
But he didn't seem pissed.
Sit down.
He didn't seem pissed.
No, I don't.
Like,
he's not apologizing for it. He's got, you know, you do your thing.
Down.
And
he
wants
like,
out. Like, it's pretty clear he wants out. I think the Timberwolves, I think the NBA, I said this off the top of the show, they got to be really careful, though, because the players are taking this to the extreme, the power that they have. This guy's still got a year on his contract, and not only does he demand
out on him, Brian, where he's trying to demand this trade, and it hasn't happened yet.
Well, no, but I think it's also the T-Wolves are like, sorry, man, like this is our price,
as they should do.
You're absolutely
not just going to say you're leaving here, and you get what you want,
right? That's exactly right. You know, like you got to pay. Look at Kawhi Leonard's got a year left. They got DeMar DeRozan, and Jakob Poeltl's a pretty good piece. You know, like we need DeMar DeRozan coming back. You can find a team that's willing to give us the equivalent of DeMar, we'll trade you. Because Butler's like a legit top 15, 20 player in the league.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Darren Drager, a hockey insider, will join us on the Leafs going off again last night in Dallas.
What if DeMar got traded to Minnesota for Butler?
And Butler was here. How do you think he would handle that?
Like, just... Because I just look at, like, DeMar would be so sour.
It's the triple roasted turkey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Would have been a tough hit. Oh. Mini, like San Antonio you can live with. Minnesota, tough grind. Darren Drager, Hockey Insider, will join us next. All right, we'll get to our Leaf ticket giveaway clue of the day a little bit later in the hour. Best Bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour as well. The Leafs coming off another big win last night, 7-4. They're 3-1 on the season. They're in Detroit tomorrow. And joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Drager. What's up, Dregs?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
We're basking in the glory that is the Maple Leafs. I mean, 3-1 and a bunch of goals, and Matthews and Tavares look good. I mean, I think the expectations were through the roof, but in reality, they've met them. It's only four games, but it could be a lot worse. I think this was a big start for them. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, there's still clearly a lot more to prove, but, you know, based on the early indication, offense is not going to be a problem, at least with the top two lines. And I don't know. I'm a bit surprised that Austin Matthews has been as dominant as he's been for the, you know, through the first few games. And that's not being critical of Austin Matthews or anything he did in the offseason. I mean, you check in on these guys from time to time, and you know what I was told in the offseason was, man, look out, he is going to be a beast. But you know, you still want to measure, you know, the capability of individual players. That includes Connor McDavid, that includes Sidney Crosby, and go down the list. And I expected that Matthews, Tavares would be motivated for a number of different reasons, obviously. I just didn't think that Matthews would be this good, this dominant so early in the season.
Dregs, we were talking about it, and obviously want you to weigh in on it, but like you just mentioned Connor McDavid training so hard in the offseason. This guy's been sitting in a hotel room for 2 weeks. And, you know, the league has had him on display in Germany and in Sweden. And they play their second game tomorrow. Like, at some point, the schedule maker or the Oilers or whoever's making these decisions have to be frustrated, where the face of your franchise, technically, or one of them, is not on display for anybody to watch. And the reigning Hart Trophy winner has been over there as well.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with the amount of criticism or the fact that we're finger-pointing at the league, at the Oilers, for, you know, building the schedule the way that they did. But I think that everybody has to absorb some of that blame, and I think we've identified those who are deserving of it. I think it is unfortunate that, you know, we're not showcasing, you know, Connor McDavid in North America in the fashion that we're seeing Austin Matthews and Tavares and go down the list, some of the bright young talent that we're seeing breaking into the NHL right now. But again, our listeners need to understand that, as important as it is to the Players Association, to the NHL, to showcase their international talent by going to Germany, by going to Sweden, by going to Finland, you know, when they make these visits, all of that is discussed, and to a degree, it's negotiated. And, you know, the Oilers flat out told me that, you know, okay, they didn't love the schedule when they first looked at it, but they thought it was a good idea to come back from Europe and work their way west, east to west. So, again, I don't know that there's any reason to point fingers here, but it is a bit unfortunate from a marketing aspect. I get that.
Darren, the Leafs score 7 goals in back-to-back games. Do you think William Nylander might look at that situation and say, I want to join that party, or maybe they don't need me, or the Leafs are thinking, you know what, maybe Kasperi Kapanen can fill the void here. It's a really interesting couple of days for the Leafs, where this guy's a dynamic offensive player, and it's I don't know the pressure points, because when you're sitting at home, you got to be thinking something.
Yeah, you know, all of the above. Oh, it hasn't gone the way that, look, it's not like Willie Nylander is sitting back in Sweden and desperate and hoping that the Toronto Maple Leafs go 0-5 out of the gate. You know, I mean, of course that helps with his negotiating power. A little bit, for sure. But, you know, you're more hoping that, you know, Tyler Ennis isn't going to work out on that line.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you see Kasperi Kapanen absolutely being a good fit on that line, I think that's the biggest pressure point. But he's well insulated. My understanding is he is, and I get it. You know, he's got his dad who's, you know, was around the National Hockey League, was a very good NHL player for a number of years, represents some people. You know, he's got a really, you know, impactful voice in this process, as we all might have if it were our son. You know, you push as hard as you can a few times throughout the course of your career when you feel like you've got an opportunity. This is an opportunity, but he doesn't have any leverage. And he's losing leverage, in my opinion, with the way that Kasperi Kapanen is playing. What's interesting to me, though, you know, Babcock is pumping this guy's tires, isn't he? And deservedly so. I thought he played a pretty good game last night.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. You know, I mean, beating out that icing, you know, Babs is always quick to direct this to Zach Hyman. I don't know that we need to be reminded how effective Zach Hyman is, but he does, because he thinks that this guy doesn't get enough credit. But that icing play that Kapanen beat out and then created the goal off of, man, that's a kid who, he's hungry. He knows what's at stake here, and why would he let a chance like this pass him by? That, to me, is the biggest pressure point in any of this for Nylander.
Yeah, and I think if you're Nylander and you're his group, at the very least, I'm sure you were hoping that the fans and the media might do some of the bidding for you. I mean, there have been examples of this in hockey and in other sports. Remember, Emmitt Smith back in the day held out, and the Cowboys went 0-2, and Dallas went crazy.
Right.
And Jerry Jones said, all right, I'm calling him up, and they paid him, and he got his money. P.K. Subban in Montreal, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have a contract. The team didn't get off to a great start. P.K. was the man, and eventually someone stepped in. We all believe, or I believe it was the owner.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, here's the money, man. We need you back.
Yep.
3-1 start, 20 goals in 4 games. Nah. It's not that people are, you know, forgetting about Nylander, but nobody in the media or the fan base is saying, man, you're putting pressure on Dubas and company.
Yeah.
So he's not getting that help, so to speak, from Leafs Nation.
I hear you, Brian, and I'm not suggesting this is a misstep, but it's curious, because normally by this point in a negotiation like this, one side buckles. And not in the negotiation, buckles with the media. And Lewis Gross hasn't done that. I mean, we keep speculating on a hard line of $8+ million for Nylander. That's his position. You know, we keep speculating on Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs zero comfort in going anywhere near $7 million. So is it Pasternak or lower? Yeah, perhaps. Normally by this point, the numbers start to come out, and then the other side gets panicky. And that hasn't happened yet. And I'm not sure that's good business from the player perspective, but you guys tell me for a moment here. And I think we all have a deep appreciation for William Nylander and the type of player he is and what he could provide to the Toronto Maple Leafs. If you see 10 games of what we've seen from Kasperi Kapanen in the current role, is that enough to go, all right, I mean, Toronto's fine, so don't sign him or sign him and trade Willie Nylander. I mean, it feels like it's kind of heading in that direction, doesn't it?
You got to see 10 minimum, Darren.
Yeah. More than that. Yeah. I'm not...
You get till Christmas and Kasper, or like mid-November or that Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, and you're like, you got to make a call. I believe in this guy. That's when you decide.
You're right. I think we need more sample size. And let's not forget, he's playing with a guy who's a man possessed right now.
Right.
So
right.
If Matthews cools off and the chemistry isn't there, and I personally don't think Kapanen is as creative as Nylander. I don't think
he's not. He's not as talented.
I think when the dust settles, Kapanen is more suited in the top nine role, not a top six. My personal, he's a great skater, but I've seen guys, a lot of guys who have $1 million wheels and 10 cent hands. Yeah. I don't know where
he is. I think Jamie,
from
what you've seen, I don't think he has 10 cent hands, and I think there's an opportunity where he might offer a different element to that top six, where he wants to get in on the forecheck. He wants to fight for pucks. There's a level of physicality that might be a different element that could be valued.
That's fair. I'm not suggesting he has 10 cent hands. I'm just not convinced that, you know, Nylander, let's push him to side because this guy's going to do the job.
Of course not.
But
that's crazy.
We got to see a lot more.
You know who else? The real opinion that matters is Matthews.
Exactly.
Like Matthews.
Let's not forget 34.
But he's done okay.
No, he has done well.
Been very good.
But you know this, Dregs. I mean, at some point he's gonna go four games without a goal. I mean, it's gonna happen. Yep. And then can Kapanen give him a tap-in back door?
Exactly.
I don't know. Nylander can. He's proven that he can.
And I'll just add one last thing. I've never seen so many people get applauded for hard work.
Like,
he beat the icing. First and foremost, I thought that was a tie that should have actually gone to the defenseman.
The Hyman one? I thought the Hyman one was closer than the Kapanen one.
No, and the Hyman one deserved to be no icing.
You think so? It was close.
Yeah, it was close.
It was a judgment call.
Second of all, we're like, these guys get paid to like skate their asses off.
I 100% agree.
Oh, it was such a great fortune. That's what your job is. Like, I've never seen, people were like, look at this, we got to spot shadow this. I'm like, are you crazy? There's so many games in the NHL. Yeah. There's, every guy should be skating like that. That's what they get paid millions
of
dollars.
Yeah, but they don't.
I know.
Yeah, I hear you. They don't. Here are the two things that we need to be mindful of, all right? Go to December 1st and then subtract the number of games that the Toronto Maple Leafs have from December 1st to now. Because those are the games that matter.
Yes.
If Willie Nylander doesn't have a deal by December 1st, he's not playing in the NHL. So who's feeling the heat? I mean, if I'm Kapanen, that's what I'm looking at. I'm not saying he's going to mail it in after December 1st.
No.
I'm just saying my window to, you know, can, you know, and then the other element to this is, how bad can he get where the Maple Leafs are like, all right, well, we're not paying him 8+, but maybe we feel like he's okay at 7.2. You know, I mean, no one's talking about, well, you guys might have talked about it. I haven't listened to the show in its entirety, but,
thanks,
you know,
Darren.
You know, I apologize.
He's busy.
Team player.
Yeah, I know. Mitch Marner had 4 points last night.
Right, yeah.
So, again, we keep the Toronto Maple Leafs are in a stranglehold here, not because they don't appreciate William Nylander, not because they don't think he's a better player than Kasperi Kapanen at his best in game 80. I don't care what it is. They can't afford to pay him north of $7 million. And I'm not sure they can go north of 6.5. So that's the issue.
That's where we're at. And it's October 10th, so we got month and a half to figure this out, right?
Yeah, I think, and there's one other thing I was reading on Cap Friendly, that I think there's some trigger points that once the season starts, signing a deal now in years two to, let's say, sign seven, there's some cap savings at November 1st and right up to December 1st for the Leafs. So they've thought of everything. So there may be something that ties into that as well.
I still don't think they're getting a seven.
No,
I don't. Yeah. So somebody's going to have to buckle.
Yeah, I don't see it either. All right, Dregs, good stuff. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, boys, have a good night.
Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. All right, so Overdrive has a pair of tickets to give away. Yes. Leafs Pens October 18th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of either a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have a chance to call in with the name of that Leaf. If you're the first one to call in with the name, you're going to see Leafs take on Sid and the Boys on October 18th. Today's clue, this player was a member of the inaugural Winnipeg Jets team when they moved back to the city in 2011. All right? So figure it out. Figure it out. That is today's clue. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. Wraps in action tonight. Leafs off until tomorrow. Jimmy Butler causing a scene. Rachel Nichols happens to be there.
Just happened.
Yeah. Amazing how that worked out. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm going big game hunting tonight. Philly got smoked at home last night. Home opener.
Response in Ottawa.
I think they bounce back tonight. Why are you not calling this game tonight?
It's probably MJ. I can't.
MJ was on the lunch today.
MJ was in Toronto today.
Okay,
well, maybe it's not our game.
Oh, it's a Wednesday night game. Yeah, I guess you're right.
There you go.
There you have it. We figured it out.
We figured it out on air.
Great promo there, Brian.
Yeah, good call. Anyway, Philly tonight. I think they bounce back. Vegas is paying 220 in Washington.
Ooh. What do you think?
I think they win tonight. I think, you know, rematch cup final should be a fun game. By all accounts, you know, what are they, 1-2? But they feel like they're playing okay.
Yeah.
It's paying 220. I'm going to jump on it. And over the number, Arizona has not scored a goal yet. They've been shut out two games in a row.
And it stemmed back to they got shut out the last game of the season last year, I believe, too, the last four.
I think they break out tonight. I'm going over the number in that game.
I'm worried about them. Everyone's like, there's so much, there's some expectation, and it's like you just see it in Rick Tocchet's face the first two games. It's like,
well, remember the start of last year? They didn't win a game for like 12 games or something.
Yeah, it was ugly. And then they got going in January.
Yeah.
Antti Raanta was actually statistically one of the better goalies.
He had a great second half. I picked him up in the pool. He was money.
Yeah. All the Twitter accounts, all the articles about them. And they're at the point where I'm hoping something positive happens because I have no connection, don't care, but stop the bleeding.
Yeah. Me too. I don't have anything against them.
No.
You know, I've said this many times. I think a team should be in Quebec City or whatever, second team in Toronto over that, but whatever. I mean, they're there. They've been there. They have fans.
Well, I'd just like to get rolling, though. Like, there's not enough games. There's like three games.
There's tonight. No games on Friday.
There's no games.
No scheduled games on Friday. Not one game in the
Friday
NHL.
Friday night, no games.
Nothing. Not at great. Any point, day or night.
But I just don't understand.
It's so weird. Anyway, throw down 20. You can score $142. Big game hunting. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So, yeah, Philly got smoked last night, and Gritty made his home debut. I've had enough of Gritty now. Like, it's enough.
Yeah,
it was fun. It's a good idea. They did a brilliant job of marketing him. Right. Brilliant. I've never seen a mascot get marketed like this. Brilliant job. Enough. I can't talk about Gritty anymore.
Gritty is actually on Calvin Pickard's new mask. He's starting tonight in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Gritty is on his mask.
The guy's been there for a week. He claimed a week ago.
I still don't understand why the hell they left Brian Elliott in for 8 goals. That's the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen. And Philadelphia was an embarrassment in front of him, the team. You should have seen the chances they were giving up. It was just awful. And to leave a goaltender, regardless of what you think of Brian Elliott, you don't do that. At 6, it's enough.
Out.
7's a touchdown.
The only thing I can think of is they're playing tonight.
Okay, like, so give Calvin Pickard at least a period to settle in with his new team and then
play him tomorrow night.
Exactly.
Anyway.
He's ready to play tonight.
Yeah.
It was a really big mistake if you ask me. Like, Hackstall's done a good job there, but that one I would have been pissed.
JVR out 4 to 6 weeks. There's been some big injuries. Like, again, we keep saying
guys.
Yeah, like Luongo,
three
Quick,
goalies. Yeah,
Murray, JVR.
Dustin Brown is on the IR.
Dustin Brown's been out for a while.
There are some names, and
I mean, William Nylander needs a contract, but he's not playing.
Right, but he's healthy technically.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, he's not available to go. Like, these are some pretty big names, you know.
Well, you hope that, yeah, you just steer clear of whoever you cheer for. You don't want that bug flu to roll through.
Well, it can throw off your whole like the goaltenders in particular.
Yeah,
you know, Philly can survive without Van Riemsdyk. And he's going to return, and the way he plays, he'll step back in, and he'll be a net front presence on the power play and all that. But,
you know, Jack Campbell played well against Winnipeg last night, but Jack Campbell is not Jonathan Quick.
No. And James Reimer is not a healthy Roberto Luongo.
No. It trickles right through.
Anyway, Raps in action tonight in Montreal, then they head to New Orleans tomorrow, and the Leafs are in Detroit tomorrow.
I would have liked to see some of the Raps routine in Montreal.
I think they would have flown out today. None of them, like, the vets aren't going to play in New Orleans. I'm wondering if they go two separate ways.
One of the teams goes over there.
Nurse in a lineup head down in New Orleans, and some of the boys are like, we'll catch you back in Toronto.
That is complete disrespect.
Well, I'm telling you, man.
Can't go wrong with either city.
It happens.
Which one would you pick?
I've never been in New Orleans. I've heard it's a great town.
I scared myself one night there.
Yeah, I've heard it's a great town.
And I shouldn't have.
Is that post-Katrina?
No.
Katrina.
Speaking of Katrina, all kidding aside, this hurricane in Florida right now, Michael, looks brutal. We're thinking of people down there for sure. Yeah. All right, we are out of here. We are back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.